In many ways, the NIE process met its initial objectives. Instead of forcing soldiers to figure out how to make different parts of the tactical network work together while they were under fire in Afghanistan, much of that trial and error work was handled ahead of time by a real live brigade combat team at Fort Bliss, Texas. But as the NIE process has evolved, officials say they've come to realize they were asking too much from the process itself. Even though soldiers were in a safe environment, integrating a series of semi-mature technologies into a cohesive set of capabilities was tough to pull off in the middle of the desert, whether that's in the U.S. Southwest or in ungoverned tribal spaces in Central Asia. Major General Dan Hughes is the Army's Program Executive Officer for Command, Control, and Communications Tactical, or PEOC-3T.
We've gotten smarter. Yeah. I mean, and I will tell you, that from the very beginning, when I was there in the beginning, we would take as many folks as we possibly could, bring them to Fort Bliss, and let them jump on top of a vehicle and try to work the damn problem down there. And try to work the integration in the field at Fort Bliss. And of course, as soon as we got to the field, you know, one cable would go missing, something went. So what we have right now is we set up a very rigid process on how we bring systems in. The systems go through a lab in Aberdeen. We can bring the entire network up in Aberdeen now, which is something that I had planned 3 years ago, I guess, or whatever it is, so that we can see what the issues are there in the lab before I bring them down to Bliss.
Hughes says that strategy is paying dividends so far. Since the Army is now testing out the components of the network it wants to try during NIEs ahead of time in laboratory settings, it's been able to significantly reduce the number of unpleasant surprises soldiers run into at the start of those twice-a-year exercises in Texas and New Mexico. Hughes says during one recent NIE, the Army never actually managed to get the tactical network up and running and fully in control of the brigade participating in the exercise. He says things are dramatically different in the NIE that's underway right now.
Right now, the soldiers brought the network up 2 days early, and it operates as with soldiers. On the WinT Increment 2 follow-on test and evaluation, that network has been up pretty solid for the last 3 weeks. We have gotten dramatically smarter only because we built in a rigorous configuration management process so that nothing gets changed. No one can randomly go in and change a parameter or a piece of software without it going through the process. Now, does that happen every once in a while? Oh, you're darn right it does. But we find it, we fix it, and we move on. And the key to that is that if you have the ability to do configuration management, you can also secure the network.
The Army is also exploring new ways to test systems long before they turn into a piece of hardware that's ready to field, and even before they're ready to head to a laboratory. The service has been using modeling and simulation capabilities for a long time, but a new program called Modesta aims to create a single virtual environment that can test new tactical networking components in software simulators long before a new product rolls off the assembly line. Noah Weston leads the Modeling and Simulation Division at the Army's Communication Electronics Research, Development, and Engineering Center.
Some of the existing modeling and simulation capabilities, they don't go far enough to answer today's complex networking questions, like with the big picture system of systems. For example, a detailed routing or latency analysis of the entire system of systems. Many of the existing tools can't actually accomplish something to that scale. You'd be looking at a number of modeling simulation tools if you're trying to analyze the entire tactical network system of systems. They're stovepiped in their processes. They require their own setup independently. Each tool requires its own setup. So if you're looking at a scenario that requires multiple tools, you know, you have to duplicate that effort. Your configuration and scenario definition would have to be done independently for each of those tools as well. If you're looking at analyzing, let's say, the routing between the network that makes up the company and the battalion, and you want to look at that at a high fidelity, it would require the use of at least two simulation tools. And each of those tools would then require their own setup and configuration. These disjointed environments require this redundant effort.
The Army expects Modesta to be up and running with initial operating capabilities by the end of this calendar year. And Weston says the interplay between the NIE process and what happens in the Army's labs and in its simulator should be a two-way process. Simulators, by definition, use a computer's best guesses about what will happen in the real world. While Modesta might be able to tell the Army a lot about how its systems might perform on the ground, the system itself also needs a lot more on-the-ground feedback to improve the fidelity of its models.
There should be a constant feedback loop where you're basically verifying the results that were obtained in the lab or in the simulation while you're in the field. And so there can be, you know, this multi-cycle feedback as you go from simulation to simulation slash lab and then out to the field and then circle back as improvements are made. It can be a proving ground for making quick changes, and it could go even further than that. We're pushing for using the highest fidelity models that are available. And so typically what that means is it's using what we call a shared code model. So it's, as much as possible, it uses the actual software code that's running on the hardware radio, but it's using that in this virtualized simulation environment. So you get most of the characteristics that you would see in the live hardware within the simulation. And there's very little that is that has to be really kind of hacked. It's most of it is the actual code.
The NIE process itself is also undergoing some fundamental changes. Earlier NIEs led to the full fielding of a tactical network called Capability Set 13. That set of technologies were indeed tested and integrated by real soldiers during the NIE process. But Hugh says the process still led to suboptimal results. He says he'd grade Capability Set 13 as about a C. One problem, it put more communications capability into a tactical vehicle than a commander actually needs.
You know, we don't need this. And you know, I'm about 68 inches tall and I weigh about 165 pounds. I'm not a really big guy. And I shoved so much stuff in that vehicle on that commander's side of the house. Dan Parnell, who was the first brigade commander, about 6'5", I think he was. We had him hunched over while we were driving the vehicle. He couldn't go anywhere if that vehicle stopped. I mean, he was just crammed in there. But it didn't give him, we just didn't do that part. So we're looking at the human engineering. We're looking at what the commander needs to see. I mean, literally, the visibility there. And how all that fits together into his fight. So initially, the commander had all of the kits. So he had all of the things that he needed. He didn't need everything shoved there. He needed his staff with him. Because I don't need the brigade commander sitting right there in the vehicle, being the TC of the vehicle, trying to run the fight, trying to log into a system. That's not what we need a brigade commander to do. That guy's trying to execute the fight.
Also, the Army is ready to make a shift in strategy. Earlier NIEs were designed to integrate commercial technologies alongside big programs of record. But starting next year, the Army will begin using NIEs almost exclusively for its existing programs, not as a way to hunt for commercial innovations.
So we haven't seen the big no kidding. Wow, there's the one thing I want. That's what I was looking for. When I was running the NA, there's that one device that solves this gap and this problem, and I'm going to buy 10,000 of them. We haven't seen that one. We've seen incremental and evolutionary changes. We did have a display device, a CTV, the Commander's Tactical Visualization Device, that was really a neat small company out of Austin that built it. But there's not a real revolutionary piece that came out of it. So one of the things I'd say we have to be better at, obviously, is finding that and bringing that forward. I don't think we've done that, and it's, I don't think it's anybody's fault. It's just that hasn't shown up and been very obvious to us at an NIE.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.